The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah!
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
All right. Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am Coach Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. For today, you know, this weekend, if you had a chance to get out to Jobbing.com Arena, you saw some pretty good basketball. A lot of great stuff going on with the 5A1 and 5A2. Both boys and girls playoffs wrapping up. And, you know, if you weren't there or if you didn't watch it online or happened to catch it on Fox Sports, you missed some good basketball this weekend. We crowned some champions, both at the 5A1, 5A2 level, boys and girls. Today we're going to be joined by one of those champions. You know, the games this past weekend were intense. You know, you had Fairfax claiming their first championship, I believe, and they had to do it by getting past Chaparral, but it took two overtimes for either team to decide who wanted to win it. Chaparral had their shots to win it, and so did Fairfax. And at the end, Fairfax got the W. And so Fairfax claimed their 5A1 or 5A2 championship. And then we had St. Mary's girls get their championship. And, you know, some say, I heard some people talking after that St. Mary's girls game, that their team is probably going to be one of the top-ranked teams in the nation next year in girls basketball. So eventually I'm going to try and catch up with that coach and get them on, and we can talk to them about what they've done over at St. Mary's that's made that program so significant lately. But this season all came to an accumulation this year with Brophy and Mountain View in the championship game. And, man, you know, it didn't turn out to be quite like what we thought after watching Brophy in the Final Four game, in the Final Four matchup against Mesa with Jahi Carson. And, you know, we expected a battle, but Coach Ernst had his troops ready to rock and roll. They came into the championship game against Brophy and just manhandled Brophy in that game, which was a surprise to all of us. I think they helped Brophy to the final score of 29 points in the game. And, you know, that was shocking. I just didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming. And I don't think Coach Ernst saw that coming as well. But, you know, we're going to talk to Coach Ernst, and we're also going to talk to Mark Mazzucco, one of his ball players, and we're going to find out about how their season went, how they got to that point, and what it feels like to be crowned champion. Now, this is a stellar moment for Coach Ernst because it's his eighth state championship, which puts him atop the state as far as championships earned in his coaching career. And Coach Ernst is a National Coach of the Year a candidate. And so this is a great year for him, and I'm sure that he's going to share some things with us about how they got here, what it means to him to be in this position, and what it means to him to have done it with these kids, because I know that these kids had a very up-and-down season. I know at one point everybody was crowning them champs early in the season, and then as the season started to progress, they said, oh, well, maybe not. And then they started looking at them again, and so it was kind of a roller coaster of people jumping on and off the bandwagon. But I bet you there's a lot of people on the Turtles bandwagon right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to bring on Coach Ernst. Coach Ernst, are you there?
Scott, I am here. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Coach, thanks for joining us today, and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Now, Coach, I know that this year, like I just got through talking about, this year kind of saw some ups and downs for you guys as far as people thinking you were going to win it and then not, and then saying, yeah, I think they have the group to do it. How did you feel at the beginning of the season when you first started tryouts in October and you started looking at what you had? Did you see the pieces there in October, or were you still kind of not sure?
Well, that early, I felt pretty confident we were going to be one of the teams that had a chance to win it. I think we're one of probably 10 or 12 that at that particular time had a chance. Obviously I knew our kids were going to be working hard, and we hope to get to a point where we'd be ready and playing at our peak at the end of the season. But, you know, you never know about injuries. You never know about illnesses. You never know what other teams are going to be doing at that time of the year. But we just always tell our kids, let's get ourselves in a position to be playing the best basketball we can at the end of the year. You don't have to be that in November, December, or January. So the goal was to be playing our best at the end, and fortunately for us, I think we did.
Now, you guys started out pretty hot, Coach. I mean, you jumped right on teams, and I think you got 6 or 7 wins in a row, was it?
We started pretty quick and pretty successful. But then in the middle part of the year, we had a few bugaboos. One was ball handling. We had a lot of trouble with real good pressure, you know, and that's probably the thing that affected us most against Mesa High in January at the MLK game. Then we lost our point guard, and we had to reassign people to different positions. And then when we had Sweeney with a sprained ankle. And so the middle part of the year, we had just several things that were not letting us and allowing us to play the kind of basketball we wanted to. But after we settled in to who was going to be playing, the kids really settled in and became a very, very good basketball team.
So would that be the reason why you guys kind of seem to be inconsistent offensively on the court? I mean, early on in the year, you guys are putting up 60, 70 points, and then, you know, you hit the Moeller game, and I was at that game. It was 36, 35, and everybody, I think, walked out of there kind of shocked at the offensive output. And then the scores kind of stayed around the 60s and a couple 40-point games. You had one against Basha, and it was just kind of shocking as to how it was up and down a little bit there. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit about kind of why you think your offensive output struggled in the mid part of the year.
Well, the Mesa High game was the last game that Jeff Kerr played in. And, you know, we scored 60 points in that game, probably enough to normally win. But after that, that's when we had to move Mark Mazzucco from the 2 to the 1 and Jaron Sweeney from the 3 to the 2. And then inserted Mitch Wallace for a while as a starter, Lauren Benally as a starter for a while. So, you know, three guys were actually playing a different role. And then we did play one game without Jaron because of the sprained ankle. And it just didn't seem like we were getting the ball moving like we wanted to, shooting the ball like we wanted to. Mark, who was now our point guard, had been a scoring guard. And now all of a sudden he's a point guard. He doesn't know if he's supposed to score, not score, get us into offense. And, you know, once he realized that he had to be a scoring point guard, I think that's really when we took off offensively again.
Okay. So you just had to get some people worked into different positions and get the rotation out a little bit, and that's kind of what was affecting you guys at that point.
Well, I thought that was part of it. And I'm not trying to make excuses because we don't want to do that. But we also had a sickness that went through the team about mid-season. It just went from one player to another player, and it really affected our practices. I went through the same thing. I had about 3 weeks where I was sick and probably a pretty grumpy coach at that time as well. I don't know. But once we got all those things settled and we got the kids healthy and we got Mark at the one and Jaron the two and we got some repetitions in terms of practice and in games, I just felt like we slowly got better and better and better.
So now, Coach, talk to us a little bit about how your season kind of started to you were coming down the stretch. And, you know, you're not in a very easy league. I mean, that league's pretty tough with teams like Basha, who everybody thought was going to be in the tournament this year but kind of fell short, with Dobson and Mesquite. But they had a new coach this year, so it was kind of a, 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 a learning curve for those kids. And Corona del Sol, Coach Dwayne, talk to us a little bit about your region this year and how you guys, you know, were able to get out of there with one loss.
Yeah, well, number one, when you have a tough region, you know, that really is what gets you ready for tournaments at the end of the season. I think the same could be said of the, what do they call it, the Fiesta region. You know, it was good pretty much top to bottom, and ours was very good as well. Those are the kind of games that get you ready for end of the season. And so when you're playing Corona two times, and they were as good as anybody, when you play Mesquite, although sometimes a little bit up and down, they had some really good games with wins over Corona. They win over Corona, and then playing them very tough after that. Bash, a very talented team that you had to be prepared for. And you know, Highland was an improved team. You know, you had those young kids last year. They're all back this year, and they were a much improved team. So when you're playing teams like that that are going to challenge you, you have to play well. And like I said, I think that's what helps get you ready for tournament play at the end of the season.
So now coming into the tournament, Coach, I mean, you guys were pretty hot. You had gone on a 6 or 7 game streak here. Actually, I think even more than that. But you guys were on a roll. And going into the tournament, I actually spoke with Coach Glasgow, who was the number one seed, and before he played you. And he said, you know, at that point in time, he says, well, you know, we got a matchup now against Mountain View, who's playing like a state championship caliber team. So coming down the stretch, you saw things start to come together. Did you think at that point, okay, this is it. This is going to be one of those years? I mean, because you can start to sense it as a coach.
Yeah, you feel good, but, you know, you've been coaching too for a while, and every game is a new challenge. You say, okay, we played well last time. Now I hope we can keep it going. And there's still that doubt in your mind until the kids actually get on the floor and start playing like you hope they will. So, you know, I don't think you certainly was confident, but still until they play that next game, you just you worry about what they're going to do. But it just seems like for this team, about the last 10 to 12 games of the year, they just kept getting better and better and better with each game that they played. And I really sensed when we got the state tournament that they really were focused. And I'm not saying that I knew what they were going to do. I just felt like there's a focus that they had. And, you know, we had a game against Mesquite where they boxed and won Jaron Sweeney, and I think he scored 5 points or something. And I just, Jaron was so happy with that win. Realized that, you know, the kids were beyond worrying about personal stats and that sort of thing, that their focus was to win everything. And I just think that was a good indication how he reacted to that 5-point game,
and that was,
as I said, he just kept getting better and better.
And that was your first playoff game, and you guys won 73-47. And then you got thrown right into the next round against another region opponent. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to beat a team three times.
Well,
and you had to go and play. Your Corona had to come to your place and play in the second round. So let's talk a little bit about that, having that third matchup, Coach.
Yeah. Well, Mesquite scared me to death. We had beaten them twice, and this was a third time, and we'd seen and heard about how well they played against Corona, so that was a scary one. You know, and we didn't have a region tournament this year, but that's kind of the way it turned out, the state tournament with us playing Mesquite and Corona right off the bat. But Corona, we beat them early. That was in December. They beat us at our place in January. And they're big and strong, like we are. They match up with our inside bigs about as good as anybody. And they, of course, have Kalen Robinson, who is a nightmare for everybody. Just a super quick guard, and we don't have anybody that quick. And the Benson kid, just a fabulous freshman player, shoots the ball, penetrates, handles the ball. So I was worried about that game, and that turned out to be one of our best games of the year. It was a kind of a toss-up at half, but we had just really a very, very good second half.
Well, Coach, I just got told we got to take a quick break. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, and we are joined today by state champion and National Coach of the Year, National Coach of the Year candidate, Coach Gary Ernst from Mountain View High School. We'll be right back.
They got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something. Or found the game if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and right now we're being joined by Mesa Mountain View's head coach, head boys basketball coach, state champion, and national coach of the year, well, I'm not going to say he's national coach of the year. He's actually a,
finalist.
Gosh, what's that, coach?
Finalist.
Finalist, there we go. I don't know why the words escape me. I've been listening to Gambo Nash a little bit too much, I think. So right now we're talking about the playoffs, and we just got through talking about the matchup against Mesquite. And you guys pulled that game off with a 73-47 win, even though they held your best scorer to 5 points. And then you go into the second round, and the second round throws you against another region opponent, Corona del Sol, and this is no joke game. So now, Coach, talk to me about how you were feeling going into that game.
Well, that was a scary game for us because – you know, we felt Corona was a team that could win it all. And we'd had just two really physical games with them. I think one game was 49-40, and I think the other one was 57-50 maybe. And as I mentioned earlier, that they match up with us. They've got two big horses inside that match up with our big kids. And then they had the point guard that's a tough matchup for everybody. And we just figured that they – matching up with us so well that that would be a tough one, and for half it was, but as I said earlier, we just really had maybe our best second half of the year against Corona in the quarterfinals.
So you guys ended up pulling that win off 67-42, and then you had to go up against the number one seed Buena, who actually was 18-0 in PowerPoint games. Now, some people say their schedule wasn't that tough and it didn't prepare them for, you know, being a number one seed. And they talk about how Buena came down to the Mountain View, Mesa Mountain View Visit Mesa.com challenge and ended up going 0-4 in the tournament against some very top-notch teams. So going into this now, it's a Final Four. You've been there before, Coach. What's your routine, actually, going into that game?
Well, we had from Saturday to Thursday to prepare, and so it gave us a lot of practice time to work on things defensively that they like to do, and also making our kids more aware of their players and what their players like to do. So it gave us those 3 days to actually get ready for them. And, when we got there, we saw that huge student section that they had, and you could tell in warm-ups that they were really, really fired up to play. And I just hope that our kids were not, we made it clear, they could not be looking past game three. We made it a four-game season and want to make sure they took them one at a time. And I think what helped us in that game was we just jumped off so quickly, got them down so badly after, one quarter that it was kind of deflated them a little bit and certainly gave our kids a whole lot of confidence.
Now, Coach, I was at that game, and I have to say, what you guys did in that first quarter was a piece of artwork. I mean, it really, I was shocked, and I was sitting with a group of people, and we're sitting there, and Buena was shooting jump shots, and you were shooting layups. And I kept saying, stop shooting jump shots, get to the rim, and another jump shot would go up. And then you go down and get another layup. And the next thing you know, it's just out of control. Now, at some point, you had to sit back and go, okay, well, good. Our kids are playing, and their kids aren't hitting shots. And you knew it was over early in that game. I mean, a lot of people left early from that situation.
Yeah. We really had some good defensive matchups against them. Their top scorer was about 6'2", and was defended by Kyle Bingham, who I just think is just one of the top defenders in the state, if not the best. He is just a really, really good defender. And with his 6'7 reach, he was a good matchup for their top scorer. And then Lauren Benally was a good matchup for, his name escapes me right now, number 20. But he was their top three-point shooter, and Lauren did a great job on him. And then Mark was able to keep their little point guard out of the lane, and I think that was huge that he didn't let the little guy get by him, that he forced him to shoot jump shots or give the ball up. And I think that was a big part of our defense right there, those three kids doing what they did.
Now you're past Buena, and now you're in the championship game. And the championship game was you and Brophy. Now, did you see Brophy play that game before yours?
Well, actually got to see half of it, and our assistants got to watch the whole thing. So, we got to see most of it.
Okay. So what were your thoughts going into that game? I mean, in watching that Final Four, watching you guys play Buena and watching Brophy play, now it escapes me who they were playing.
Mesa.
Mesa. That's right. I don't know why it escaped me. Well, watching Brophy and Mesa, I thought this was going to be a knockdown, drag-out championship game. I mean, their kids were playing at a very high level against a very talented Mesa team, and they, kind of shut everybody down except for Jahi, and they said, okay, let Jahi go. Just don't let anybody else score. And it was a great defensive move by Coach Fuller at Brophy, and then going into that championship game, I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be knockdown, drag out. So talk to me a little bit about your thought process, because they put this game back-to-back. You didn't have a lot of time to plan, a lot of game planning you could do, and meetings with the kids. What was your approach here, Coach?
Well, watching them, it really worried us because they transitioned so well. I mean, if they could transition Mesa, and Mesa is a very quick team, and Brophy was just great at getting the ball and going right at him. With Mesa's quickness, are they going to be able to do the same thing to us? So that was going to be a real key part of the game if we could get our defense back and set up before they transitioned us to death. And so, again, the defensive matchups, Mark and our guards got back, our bigs got back, that pretty much made them play a half-court game. And then we had the good matchups again, Kyle Bingham on Cy, was a good matchup for us, and Lauren Benally again name escapes me now, I think it was number 22, and then our guards getting back and keeping their guards in front of us, was a key. And our kids, even with, you know, just the one-day preparation, did just a great job in terms of defensive transition and making them a half-court team. And then our half-court defense has been pretty solid all year, and we felt pretty good about the matchups we had. And although I never dreamt that we'd hold them 29 points, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Coach, I'm looking at their schedule, and you know, to see that they were held to 29 points is really shocking to me. I mean, they put some decent points up on the board, especially against Mesa. They put 96 on the board. So I'm sure coming back off of that 96-point game, they didn't expect to only put 30 up. I mean, that was kind of disappointing, I'm sure. But now let me ask you this question, because I want people to get a peek inside of your mind here for a second. How do you prepare for your Final Four? I mean, you've been there now 8 times, or actually more than 8, haven't you?
I've been lucky enough, been there 10 times.
You've been there 10, and you've come out with 8 state championships. So, Coach, talk to me a little bit about what your thought process is going into a Final Four setting.
Well, the kids hear it all the time. I constantly tell the kids, keep things simple. Play good defense, rebound, take care of the ball, and share the ball. And I've always felt if you keep it in simple terms, that you're going to be a lot better off. So that's one of the things that we really try to stress, is keeping everything simple. Always try to encourage kids to be relaxed. This is something I've always told my teams that get this far, that your hard work throughout the summer, throughout the fall, throughout the spring, throughout the season, your goal is to get to the championship game, to get to jobbing.com. And I tell them that if that's your goal, if that's really what you want, you're getting that. You're there. So there's no reason to be nervous, because you're getting the thing that you've worked for. And I think, too, that with our coaching staff, we've got the kids prepared to defend, you know, the favorite things that teams like to do. And I think probably a little bit of good fortune as well has gone along with those wins as well.
Now, Coach, talk to me a little bit about what it looks like. If I'm a Mesa basketball player, if I'm a Mountain View basketball player, what did those 2 days look like? Walk us through, you know, bus rides, the whole bit. But you know what? We only have 2 minutes, so let's kind of start off with what does the day look like? I know it's a regular school day, but then what do you do with the guys at that point afterwards?
Well, regular school day,
late game the first night.
On Thursday we have a sixth-hour PE class, so sixth hour we get the kids together. I do somewhat of a review, get them out of there, get them back. The bus left, I think, at 4:15 on Thursday. So, you know, the day, because they go to school, makes it fairly cramped. The toughest day was Friday, because we didn't get home till about 11:30 Thursday. And a couple of kids had the kids' parents allowed them to sleep in a little bit. They called in, so they got to sleep a little bit. Friday morning, we met at 1:10 on Friday to go over Brophy material. We were there for about 45 minutes or so, had them shoot some free throws, got them out of there, got them back again at 4:15. For us, it could be, in fact, Friday took us an hour and a half to get to jobbing.com. So, you know, we left at 4:30. We got there about 7 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, excuse me. So it's really quite a long trip, not necessarily in miles, but in terms of trying to get through that rush hour traffic.
Right, all the traffic, exactly.
Yeah, got to the arena, and kids have a chance to sit down, relax a little bit. We get them into the locker room, and they stretch, they do their taping and get everything done, and usually about a 15-minute pregame, 10 to 15-minute pregame, reviewing things again that we'd gone over previously in the day.
So, Coach, what I'm going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to have you answer this question, and this is going to be a question that everybody's been asking in their mind this year as they come up against to meet you up. Or to meet you guys as a team, how can you beat Mesa Mountain View? So now, if I'm a coach and my team's coming to play you, this year there was a kink in your armor somewhere and nobody was able to find it, but I know you know what it is, So give us this. The season's over and nobody can use it against you. Give us a little insight. How could people this year have pulled off a win against your state championship team? So when we get back from the break, we're going to hear from Coach Ernst what he thinks could have beat them sometime during the year. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, and we're being joined right now by Coach Gary Ernst from Mesa Mountain View, the 5A1 state champion. And here's the question I asked before we went to break, and I asked Coach to think about this, because every coach and every player and parent and all the prognosticators online and everybody on the chat rooms were trying to say, what could they do to beat Mesa Mountain View? And so my question to Coach Ernst is, so, Coach, you know the kink in the armor. You know where your weakness was this year. What could some of the teams have used to defeat you and stop you from getting the eighth championship in 10 Final Four appearances?
Well, I think we found that out about midway through the season, although there's a few other times that we kind of felt that way. But we had trouble handling the basketball at times. We're not the quickest team out there. And our quickest kid did go down with an injury after the Mesa game, but even in that game against Mesa, he did play. And we realized that quickness and pressure was hurting us. And so I would say that was probably the biggest chink, but we usually were able to make up for it with our defense and with our rebounding, which were, as I've told some people, I think this might be the best rebounding team that I've ever had. So we were able to overshadow some of those weaknesses because we defended so well and because we rebounded so well. But after that game, we just started realizing that was the problem, and we did a lot of drills, a lot of 6-on-5 drills, 6 defensive players, 5 offensive players, especially in full court man pressure. And I know Mark went through that for several weeks where we pressured him with sometimes 2 people, and I really think that after several weeks of doing that, I think that we improved our ball handling a great deal. But that was our weakness during the season.
Okay. So, Coach, let me ask you a question. When do you find out about your about the National Coach of the Year Award, and who's voting on that, and how did you become a candidate?
Well, I was just informed by email by the National Association that I was the winner of the Region 7 or Region 8, I'm not sure what it is, and that there were, I think, six or seven other finalists. And about the middle part of June, they have a national convention in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I don't know who votes on it. I'm assuming that there must be a selection group in the national body that picks the national coach. So I'm hoping to go back there to Grand Rapids and participate in the banquet and see what happens.
Okay. Well, Coach, you'll have to keep me posted on what happens there, and that way we can tell everyone the results.
Okay.
You know, even to be nominated and to be the region, one of the region candidates, that's a huge honor, and it's well-deserved.
Well, thank you.
Well,
appreciate it,
Coach. You know, you've got to be the closest thing to Coach K that we have here, going all those Final Fours and walking away with the region, or walking away with state championships.
Well, I've always said, I told the kids at the assembly day, I've always considered myself be a lucky coach to be where I'm at and have a chance to coach the kind of kids I coach that buy in and do the things we ask them to do. So I'm very fortunate.
Well, Coach, I'm happy for you. Congratulations, and thanks for joining us today. You know, if there's anything I can ever do, just let me know, and I'll definitely help you out in any way, shape, or form I can.
All right. Okay, Scott, thank you.
Okay. And now we're going to be joined by one of Coach Ernst's players that he talked so much about, having to handle a lot of pressure this year, Mark Mazzucco. Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm there, Scott.
All right, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Congratulations to you on your state championship.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be a state champion?
It's a pretty great feeling. There's not much that you could use to describe it. It's one of a kind of experience.
Has it really sunk into you yet? I know you guys had your assembly today, Coach was talking about. But now, after you guys won Saturday and Sunday, you're sitting around with your friends, and what was going through your mind?
To be honest, right after the game, we all hung out all together, all of us, and we just pretty much stayed up late and just had fun because we were just so excited after the win. And it didn't really sink in until today when we had our assembly, and it made it all come into realization that we had just, like, won a state championship. And then going to PE, going to basketball, and just talking about state rings and just, like, just discussing all about how we had won, and it finally kicked in today, I think. And so it was just a great weekend.
All right. So now talk to me a little bit about your season. You know, I mean, you were the scoring guard. You were the two guard. No pressure,
yeah.
Just to put the points on the board. And typically that comes pretty easy for a guy who goes to the two spot. It's a natural situation. But then having to move to the point guard spot, that's a little bit different. There's a whole different perspective. So let's talk about what happened for you this year, starting out. This is your senior year.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what coming into your year, what you thought was going to happen and how it started to shift. And
well, I know that my freshman year and my sophomore year, I was the one guard both those years. So I had some, like, experience coming into this year. And last year I had played the one guard for a bulk of time, but I'd never been, you know, told that this was going to be my main position. And at first it was pretty nice not having to be worried about all the pressure, and I was able to shoot the ball whenever I got a lot more looks at the basket. But when I was forced to move to the one, those couple of games where I was trying to fit in and know where my role was, it was pretty tough. And I remember constantly at practice, like, always making mistakes after mistakes, not knowing whether or not I should, you know, shoot the ball or make the extra pass. And so I just slowly but surely I fit into my role, and I think I learned to handle the pressure more, and that's why I think we all started clicking more, because I was able to get the assist in as well as get some points to add to the scoreboard.
Now, did you feel a lot of pressure to have to shift up your game a little bit here?
I felt like it was a pretty easy transition at first. It wasn't that big of a change because I had played the one this year too. Like I kind of like shared the one when mm-hmm. he would get pulled out. So I felt like it was an okay transition. But coming into the tournament, the state tournament, I felt like the pressure kind of picked up because I knew we'd be playing top-notch teams that would all be picking up their defense. And so I knew I had to expect the best. And also going into the state tournament, everybody that had scouted us knew that our two-guard, Jaron Sweeney, was one of our leading scorers. So I knew that I would need to pick up my side of the, you know, playing and shooting so that because they put all their top defenders on him, so I knew I had to pick up some of the slack.
Okay, so now here you are. You're in your senior season. You guys are going up and down, and people are looking at you as a potential state champion. And then, I don't know. After the game against the team from Moeller High School or from Moeller, Ohio, Archbishop Moeller from Cincinnati. After that game, people are like going, wow, what happened there? You guys only put 36 points on the board, 35 points on the board. And it just seemed to be a little inconsistent with where you guys started. How did you feel the guys handled getting back on track?
Honestly, I felt that I wasn't really worried. I honestly felt that we were just going through our normal up and downs that every team has. And I knew that by the end of the season, because of like the great coaching that we have at Mountain View, I felt like we would be ready and that this was just preparing us. And I felt that the loss at Moeller just taught us so much. Like Coach had said, we learned so much from all of our losses. And that's what makes it so like helpful, is even with a loss, we made it so that it benefited us by teaching us what we needed to work on. And I think it obviously showed by how much we were able to handle pressure. And so I felt that if we hadn't lost those games, we wouldn't have came into the state playoffs as prepared.
So you think those kind of fine-tuned you guys?
Yeah, I do believe that. I think that we learned a lot after that Mesa loss. That was a pretty big hit for us, and I felt that that was the turning stone for, even though we had lost Corona, I felt like the Mesa game was one of our biggest, you know, games where we're like, oh, well, we really do need to work on our pressure. And so I think that's where it all kicked in.
Okay. How did you feel about that championship game? I mean, that had to be kind of a surreal feeling to look up at the scoreboard and see how far ahead you guys were of that Brophy team, which the night before put 90 points on the board.
I know that we had played them in the summer, so I knew that, and we had beat them by 15. So I wasn't, like, as worried, but, you know, it was my last game. And, of course, I had, like, that, you know, nervous mindset that what happens if we did lose or if we choked. But I knew that we had – I was talking to Coach before the game, and I was like, you know, I honestly think that we actually peaked at the right time and when we really needed to. We had peaked at the state tournament when we needed to, you know, play our best. We had been playing our top-notch basketball, and I wasn't worried at all. I thought we were totally prepared for them. And I knew that it was going to be a defensive game. And I knew since we were playing such great defense that we would be ready.
Okay. So now let's talk about you and your goals. You know, you're a senior now. You're getting ready to graduate. Do you have any goals to play next year or to move on and play college athletics?
Well, I have been talking to some coaches, you know, in like California, and I've been talking to some other, like, college recruiters, but I've been getting a lot of academic scholarships, so I've one of my interests is trying to see if I could walk on at ASU, but I'm just trying to look and see where I could go and what my options are right now, so.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, Mark, I appreciate you being on. Is there anybody that you want to say thank you to? This being your senior season, you're wrapping it up. You're leaving on top, man, and that's a rare situation. And do you want to thank anybody or say anything to anyone?
I think I'd really just want to thank my dad for all the endless hours he put in with me. Not only that, he was always there supporting me and just my entire family. And my dad just every night, whenever I needed to go shoot, he would be there for me. And so he definitely was the reason why I was able to play so well this year. And so I really thank him for being there for me. And not only that, I thank my assistant coach, Coach Palmer at Mountain View, because he really made me work. He never let me go into a practice not prepared, and if I ever slapped, he would let me know. So I really am thankful for him too.
Okay. Well, one last question, and I'm gonna let you go for again. We're gonna take a break, and I'll let you go. But the question I have here is, and this it may take a couple seconds to answer this, but playing for Coach Ernst, knowing that he's been to 10 Final Fours, I know that had to give you some sense of relief, knowing that the guy you were going in the battle with has the experience. The fact that he had 7 state championships and 9 appearances had to give you some relief, knowing that the person that was leading you into that game had the experience and had been successful before. But at the same time, I know it had to put a little bit of pressure on you, knowing that you didn't want to be one of those teams that let him down once he got there. So was there that feeling amongst you guys, or was it not?
You know, my junior year, we made it to the Final Four, and we did lose that game. And so going into this year, I knew that there was some pressure. Like, I didn't want it to be the same ending as last year, and we all felt the same way. We knew that we were coached by such a great coach that we had nothing to worry about, and that going into the state tournament in general, we knew that we had the best coach to prepare us for some of the biggest games of our lives, and we really had no worries in the world. We couldn't have asked for any better of a season, any better of a coach, and so it was a great experience.
Well, outstanding. Hey, thanks for joining us today. And you know what? Good luck in whatever you do, and if you do walk on at ASU, we'll see you there next year.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to wrap up the show. You heard from a player that was on the 5A state championship team and the coach of the 5A1 state championship team. We'll kind of sum up everything when we get back. We'll be back in a few.
She got game. We got game. They got game. He got game. It might feel good. It might sound a little something. Profound the game if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right. Everybody got game. But we just here to let y'all know that
your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Here's what's happening this week on the trail with Jim and Trav.
President of the Firearm Coalition of Colorado, Steve Schreiner, Wisconsin Lady Spirit Checker, Stacey Frakes, Archer's Choice host, Vicky C. and Cerullo, and everyone's favorite gnome, Ron Spomer, will be our special guest. And we'll be headed on the trail with a guy that thinks the Gettysburg Address is where Lincoln lived. We're talking about those guys from Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center. Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely. And, you know, listening to Mark talk about Coach Ernst, there's no doubt that he shaped those young men's lives and gave them memories that they will have forever. And, you know, I was telling somebody just recently that when you look at your state championship ring, when you wear that thing 5, 10, 15 years from now, and you put that thing on, you look at it, you think about not the state championship itself, but the guys that you did it with. You think about the players. You think about the coaching staff. You think about the team dinners. You think about the bus rides. You think about specific moments in games where maybe you weren't supposed to win and you did, or games that hurt when you lost. Those are all the memories that come flooding back that ring brings to you as a state champion, which is why those rings that guys wear and they continue to wear for a long time is impactful. These guys will stay in contact with each other and will be friends on Facebook and will look at and they'll connect, and their kids will probably end up being friends together, because you know what? That's what happens when you win a state championship. If there's a connection, there's a bond that seems to transcend time. You know, being a part of the 1987 CIF Southern Section State Champion, that group, there are guys on my Facebook page that played on that team that still get together and have picnics that I coached when they were in seventh grade or sixth grade on traveling teams. And you know, that group of guys is they're very special to me, having been a part of that at Kennedy High School with John Mayberry. That group is a very special group. And you know what? That continues to be a bond forever. And so state championships are very important. They're very important to kids and to coaches. And you know, those teams that didn't win the state championship but fought hard to win the state championship, they also have a very strong, special bond. That Buena team came through a lot to get to where they were at this last weekend. And to come up short in the state championship, you know what? That's okay. The Final Four appearance, that's a huge, huge thing for them and Coach Glasgow, so congratulations to them. Also, to Mesa High School and John Hugh Carson and Coach Shane Bukar, who we're going to have on the show here again real soon. John, he finished his career very strong with Mesa, leading them to Final Four after having a very tough loss in the first round last year. To bounce back and to get to the Final Four against a very well-balanced Brophy team, you know, that was a tough loss. But that group of guys will definitely remember that experience and bouncing back, and Coach Bukar will never forget that as well. And then at the 5A2 level, you've got, Pinnacle and Chaparral meeting in the Final Four, and Chap pulling out a nice win there. And then you have Betty Fairfax and Desert Mountain meeting in the Final Four, and Fairfax pulling out a win against Desert Mountain. And so that put Chaparral and Fairfax on a collision course that, you know what, to be honest, I don't think a lot of people said Fairfax. I picked Fairfax. I think that with Chaparral having been in their second straight state championship game, I think a lot of people thought Chaparral would pull it off and get the win. But, you know, they just came up a little bit short. They had two times that they had the opportunity in at the end of regulation and at the end of the first overtime to hit the last shot to win the game and fell short. And, you know, that happens. It's nobody's fault. It happens. You know, ball bounces this way, ball bounces that way. It happens. You know, and that hurts. That hurts. But it's going to create a burn for some of those younger Chaparral players, and they will be focused on getting better so that they're ready for next year. So when their name is called, they've prepared themselves mentally. Kind of like what's happening with the Heat. I have to say, man, I'm laughing right now because everybody anointed the Heat the next NBA championship team, and they can't even finish a game at the end when it's tight. You know, so anyways, I just had to throw that out there. There's a couple people who are going to be mad at me for doing that. But you know what, hey, I got to say what I think. I'm a Lakers guy, so still, to me, the championship still goes through L.A. So I want to also congratulate the Fairfax coach, Dom Dominguez. He's going to call in next week, I believe it is. We've scheduled to get him on the show, talk to him about his state championship And I'm hoping also to get the St. Mary's coach on to talk about his state championship or their state championship over there at St. Mary's with the girls program. So this week, you know, we wrapped up basketball season. It's over. It's over. And it was a long, tough season. There was a lot of teams that could have walked away with some championships. There were some big-time upsets. But you know what? Basketball is not completely done yet because we do have March Madness sneaking up on us. And you know what? If you're interested in being a part of the coaches' bracket challenge, the March Madness bracket challenge, you got to send me an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Send me an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com and put in the subject heading March Madness bracket challenge, and I will send you directions on how to sign up for the CBS Sports, because that's where we're going to do it. So if you really want to get a jump start, go to cbssports.com and create a username, and then I will send you the link to the Coach's Corner Bracket Challenge for March Madness. That's right. It should be fun, and I tell you what, this week you've got some you got the Pac-10 tournament coming up. So I believe it starts tomorrow, and you've got some of the other SEC, ACC tournaments turning up the heat. So great basketball going on at the college level. Now you get to watch kids who have won state championships, who have missed out on state championships, play at the college level. You go for the ultimate goal of being called national champion. And speaking of national championship, I want to send out much love to all my guys that are in Connecticut right now with Westwind Prep as they are preparing to fight for the Prep National Championship tipping off tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Good luck to the boys out there at Connecticut playing in the 2011 Prep National Championships. So this is the Coach's Corner. I am the Coach Scott Lovely. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, send me an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com and put in the subject heading Bracket Challenge, March Madness Bracket Challenge, and I'll shoot you back the directions. Like I said, this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We're out.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.